Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Master face to face, you tell me, how are you going to celebrate that day? I'm telling you, I don't think there'll be a dead person. There won't be a dead Pentecostal. There won't be a dead Catholic. I don't believe there'll be anybody dead in the kingdom on the day when we see Christ appearing. I don't think you'll have to say, come on, stand up. I don't think you'll have to say, Pastor Mike, everybody stand and worship with us. I don't think you're going to have to say, everybody clap with us. What kind of reception are you going to give the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And when he steps, come on, give him your best. Come on, come on, give him your best. Come on, give him your best. Come on, take us in there. Come on, Pastor Mike, come on, come on, take us in there. That's it. That's it. Come on. One day, amen. You bled as my lamb. You were my lamb. You were my sacrifice. And Lord God, we love you. We love you. That's it. Come on. Come on. Something good's about to happen to you. I said something good's about to happen to you. I believe that this morning something really good's about to happen to you because you are in the presence of the King. Listen, I'm telling you, there is something good that's about to happen to you because you are in the presence of the King. And you are here by invitation of the utmost high. He said, come unto me all that are weary and heavy laden. And he said, I will give you rest. He didn't say, I'll make sure somebody gives it to you at the door. He said, I will give you rest. Amen. This morning, did you come in expecting God to do something for you? Or did you come in to tolerate one more service? I'm just saying, why are you here? Listen, there was a woman who she wouldn't even give Jesus the choice. She chased him and she chased him and fought through the crowd and pushed through the crowd. And she was actually willing to be offendably against the law that day when she touched the hem of his garment. And that day, for the first time in history, that day for the very first time in history, because of a bold woman that wouldn't give up, for the first time you see in history, when the unclean touched the clean became unclean. And that day, the first time in history, where the clean, or actually the unclean touched the clean, and the unclean became clean. That's the first time where we see the unclean touching without permission. She didn't care. She didn't want his permission. Well, we have an invitation. And today, I want to just ask you to bow your heads. You've just been invited into the presence of the King. Father, whatever it is, let us be bold like that woman with the issue of blood that day. Let us run after you and push every obstacle out of our way today in this service. And run after you and run after you and refuse to walk away without the miracle. In the name of Jesus Christ. And every believer said, amen. Give the Lord another great hand, guys. Woo. We have a great Father, don't we? We have a good, good Father. We have a great service, I believe, in store for you, not just because Marty, Sharon, and Miranda Tharps are here. It is because Christ is in the house. I said, Christ is in the house. Got about half of us agreeing with it. I said, Christ is in the house. That's why we're going to have a great day. Spread the word. Something good is about to happen. Do you know how many people would be changed if we walked up to them every day and said, no, I'm really praying for you today. Something good happens to you. Wouldn't that just change the conversation from Facebook gossip to something good? Something really good is going to happen to you. I'm praying that for you today. Well, I am praying that for you, our family here at SCRC today. Father, bless them. Come into a situation. There are those in this room that need you desperately. I'm asking this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And every believer said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a great hand, guys. Give him a great hand. Okay, just go ahead and leave that up there. The Tharps are precious friends of mine. In fact, actually family to me and to my dad and to our family through the years. If you've been here in the past when the Tharps have been on this platform, you've heard their history. I've told you, most of you, the history of this group. This group in the 1960s is when I first ran into them. We were trying to figure out how old I was. Marty said he thought I was around 5, actually, the first time I met him. And that's not all that far off. It was 1968. I was born in 61, and I saw him the first time in 1968. And we started a journey of reaching young people across America together. They allowed me to go on one trip with them, and I never went again. I don't know what happened, but no, it was an amazing journey. Has been for years with the Tharps. They're precious to me. This is the kind of thing I saw, and I say this every time they're here, because if you've never heard the Tharps, I want you to understand the impact of this ministry in America. And he'll tell you some of the things about what's going on in the British Isles, that they've been honored twice by Parliament and things like that for bringing Catholic students together with Protestant students who are supposed to kill each other and taught to kill each other, and they're singing and they're worshiping God together by the end of a meeting. It's the most amazing thing. They've always had an outreach to young people. They've always drawn young people. And I was a part of that in the 1960s and 70s. We all packed up on buses, went out to the old Northwest Plaza. You all remember the old open original Northwest Plaza? We'd witness to kids share, I'm a kid. I'm watching Marty witness to kids. I'm carrying stuff, handing tracts out, giving Jesus away, loving. And they'd pack kids up and literally at Forsen Assembly of God, Karen's grandfather's church, Lester Shockley and Duke, at that church, thousands of kids came to Christ over. Pastor Harvey remembers the Tharps well. At the Full Gospel Businessmen's Convention, I watched thousands upon thousands of people come to Jesus Christ. And the older people of the day couldn't understand why in the world Marty and Sharon, and Miranda wasn't with them yet, but why Marty and Sharon would ever allow kids to come into church with no shoes, overalls, and no shirt, and that long hair. Well, those people today are pastoring churches around America. Somebody needs to give the Lord a hand here. It's not just the Tharps. They're pastoring churches. They're missionaries around the world today, those long-haired freaks that went to Riverview with me. They're pastoring churches. One of them's named Stephen Gwen Corrigan. They're Costa Rica missionaries today. And I know them well, love them dearly. And by the way, so what took place over the years was the kids wanted a place of their own because the older people just couldn't quite get used to those long-haired hippie freaks. They were called Jesus freaks, remember? That's a real term of the day. And these kids would come to church. Well, they started a little thing called the sheep shed, the original sheep shed.
That turned into New Covenant. New Covenant turned into several New Covenants. That turned into Grace World Outreach. That turned into, the youth pastor at New Covenant gave birth to Grace World Outreach over off of McKelvey, Ron Tucker, and then a youth pastor that was born out of the New Covenant Ministries, a gentleman by the name of Pastor Jeff Perry over in the St. Louis Family Church, just one of the smaller churches in the St. Louis area. You know, it just runs several thousand. I mean, I'm just being real with you. And Mike Bickle, by the way, y'all know IHOP in Kansas City? Mike Bickle was born out of New Covenant Ministries. He was also Gina and my pastor for 2 years, almost 3 years down at South County Christian Fellowship. I'm telling you, what I saw as a result of this ministry is now around the world. And the reason I have the Tharps here every year is not just for sentimental reasons. It is. I'm going to tell you straight up. They own my heart. But one of the things I know is they have a heart for your kids. And they have a heart for the kids across the world. And they reach them by the thousands. So would you welcome to this platform Dr. Marty Tharp, Sharon, and Miranda.
Where do you think you're going? Excuse me. Give your pastor a big, big round of applause this morning. Amen. There's a song that we want to sing because of what he's been talking about. Because I believe it's time we recognized who Jesus is. Amen. He's the Lamb. He's the Lion. And he's the King.
Amen.
And it's rolling. Start over. Let's try that again.
Come on, you clap now.
Like a lamb led to the slaughter, Jesus never opened his mouth. From the trial to the crucifixion, to the grave he was laid out. After 3 days in the garden tomb, I can hear the angels sing. As the lamb
Hallelujah.
Came forth, as the lion, and the lion became the king.
You won't find him again at the whipping post, standing there so meek. He won't be nailed to a rugged cross through his hands and through his feet. There'll never be another Calvary, cause he don't have to prove one thing.
The day the Lamb became the Lion,
and the Lion became the King.
Amen. It's a Pentecostal song, so you can clap with this.
Jesus left his splendor to live on earth as man. The most he was rejected because he came forth as a lamb. But the day is soon approaching when every eye shall see. The Lamb, the Lion of Judah, has been crowned the King of Kings.
We'll find him again at the whipping post, standing there so meek. He won't be nailed to a rugged cross, through his hands and through his feet. There'll never be another Calvary, cause he don't have to prove one thing.
The day the Lamb became the Lion,
and the Lion became the King. You won't find him again at the whipping post, standing there so meek. He won't be nailed to a rugged cross, through his hands and through his feet. There'll never be another Calvary, cause he don't have to prove one thing.
The day the Lamb became the Lion,
and the Lion became the King.
The day the Lamb became the Lion,
and the Lion became the King.
Oh, he became the King of Kings.
this friend. Good job.
I'm sorry, but I think y'all are going to lose a pastor because we're going to take him with us.
They may send you. Don't give them a vote on that. They may send me, rather.
I'm doing my best to persuade Pastor to join us in Ireland this year. This year will be our 39th year to do schools in Ireland. And what is amazing about that is the fact that we're actually more in demand today than we have ever been in the schools. I'd like to think it's because of my good looks. Unfortunately, I have a mirror, so I'm pretty sure that ain't it. Amen. I'd like to think maybe it's these good-looking girls that travel around with me. But the fact is, it ain't that either. I've had a headmaster. In fact, one headmaster came to me after we did an assembly, our fourth time there. And he said, Mr. Tharp, could I book you for an entire day next year? And I said, what am I going to do for an entire day? I just did your whole school, two assemblies in 2 hours. He said, I don't want you for the kids. I want you for the teachers. I said, what am I going to do with the teachers? He said, listen, we have 15-minute assemblies, and they won't pay no attention to us. They won't sing. They won't listen. They talk. And you come in here within an hour, and when you talk, you can hear a pin drop. And when you sing, they stand up and want to sing with you. If you invite them to come forward and dance, the whole school wants to do it. And then if you tell them to sit down and shut up, you can hear a pin drop. And we can't figure out how in the world you do that. I want you to teach our teachers. And I said, sir, I'm sorry, but I can't do that. He said, is it some kind of secret? I said, no, sir, it's not a secret. He said, well, then tell me. I said, mister, I could tell you, but I don't think you'd understand. He said, I'm an intelligent man. Try me. I said, all right. Have you ever heard of a thing called the anointing? He said, the anointing? I said, yes, the anointing. He said, anointing, by definition, is oil smeared on somebody's head. If that's what'll do it, I'm going to go buy myself the biggest bottle of oil I can find. It is amazing to me that sometimes when I tell people what I do, and I tell them I'm 82 years old, they look at me funny. Because they can't figure out what in the world are you doing in front of kids. Well, I'll tell you one thing I do in front of kids is I turn it over to her.
Waking up knowing there's a reason. All my dreams come alive. Life is for living with you. I made my decision. You lift me up, fill my eyes with wonder. Forever young in your love, this freedom's untainted with you. No moment is wasted. So see the sun now bursting through the cloud, black and white, turn to color all around. All is new, in the Savior I am found, and this is living now. Are you alive this morning?
Yeah.
Said this is living now. Lead the way, God, you're right beside me. In your love, I'm complete. There's nothing like living with you. This life you created, I choose. So see the sun now bursting through the cloud, black and white, turn to color all around. All is new in the Savior I have found. That this is living now. Said this is living now. You take me high. than I've been before. It's your perfect love that sees me soar. God, your freedom is an open door. You are everything I want and more. Maybe I don't really know what living is. Is it love? If it was, do I live in it? Am I living it? So astounding. Love is an ocean. You can drown me. Sweet embrace, lovely taste. Now taste and see I'm under grace. The place to be means I don't ever need an umbrella. I'm cool in the cold or the hot weather. Whether or never I ever understand I'm a man in the hands of great plans. I stand with faith in a life I've never known. A touch is just out my clutch. But I'm like, what's to dream of? What's to hope in? What's to die for? Live to know. And this is living. Life I've been given's a gift. If I'm gonna live it, I'm gonna live it to death. What's to dream of? What's to hope in? What's to die for? Live to know. And this is living. Life I've been given's a gift. If I'm gonna live it, I'm gonna live it to death. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Said this is living now. You take me higher than I've been before. And it's His perfect love that sees me soar. God, your freedom is an open door. You are everything I want and more.
Woo!
Amen.
Yeah.
Woo!
That's hot.
Now that's the junior version of rapping. I need one person to come join Pastor. Not going to tell you why, just one person that would like to come and join the pastor for a moment. One person, come on. Yeah, that'll be fine, come on. Everybody stand up. And this morning, nobody's allowed to be more than 16 years old today, is that all right? So you can do this in your seat. If you want to come forward at the front and do it, that'll be fine. But we're going to give you the senior version of rapping.
Brother to brother, we need to learn to love each other. So lean on me when you're in trouble. I catch my cares and cry, cause he cares for me. When you need a shoulder to cry on, it is lean.
One, two, three, lean on me. When you're not strong, I'll be your friend.
I'll be your friend.
I'll help you carry on.
Lean on me,
boy. It won't be long.
Understand, yeah, yeah.
We all need somebody to lean on. Lean on me when you're not strong. And I'll be your friend. I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. It won't be long. I'm going to need somebody to lean on.
Oh, come on, it won't hurt. Everybody together now. One last time just to make the devil mad. Well, I'm having this joint like a brother with an attitude. Coming on straight, so you best give me latitude. Leaning on the boys from the word get go. Being there for them cause the Lord said so. Some of us just don't know what to do. Take it here and now, what I'm telling you is true. Don't dog your brother out when he stumbles and falls. Just be there to lean on, y'all. Call me. Just call me. Why don't you just call me? Why, oh, why not call me? Just call me. Why don't you just call me? Now don't you know that I'll be there? You can lean on me. Oh, don't you know that I'll be there? You can lean on me. Oh, don't you know that I'll be there? You can lean on me. Scooby-dooby-doo.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is there anybody in the crowd that you would be totally honest and recognize, I need just a little more Jesus? Anybody in the crowd that you think you might need just a little more Jesus? Now, you remember in church, we'll have no lying in church. So let's try that one more time. How many think you could need just a little more Jesus? This little angelic thing over here that did the rapping. I had her fix me a cup of coffee going down the road 70 miles an hour. And when I turned it up to drink the last dregs of my coffee, something hit me on the lip. I almost had an accident. I looked down there, she'd put a big old grape in my cup. That's just one of several things that she has done. So angelic she may look, but boy, does she need a little more Jesus.
Just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
Help me along my way. Just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
To help me along my way. Mama didn't raise me that way. Lord, I need a little help today. I'm way too sad and I'm crying too long. Can't keep saying everything is wrong. Yes, my life seems way too hard, but ain't nothing too hard for God said. I need just a little more Jesus.
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 I need just a little more Jesus
to help me along my way.
Pastor Barry Ivey, absolutely amazing. He don't know none of these songs.
No.
But he always manages to fit in. That is absolutely amazing. Give your pastor another big round of applause.
Be to me just a memory, and this you'll hear me say, I'll take Jesus, I'll take Jesus. I've tried those earthly pleasures, and they fail. Before you see the gates of heaven, you'll hear the Master say, it's me or the world, my child, which one will you take? It's me or the world, my child, which one will you take? It's me or the world, my child, which one will you take?
Somebody. Amen. Everyone stand with me, please, if you will. Turn your Bibles to the book of John. Everyone stand, please, in honor to the word of the Lord, and turn your Bible to the book of John, chapter 14, verse number 12. Pastor, what time do we need to be out of here? Approximately. Chapter 14, verse 12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse number 13, skip to verse 13. Says, therefore, or howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Father, I thank you for the word today. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to come upon the minds and hearts of this audience. May we understand a little more clearly who we are. And then grant us the courage to leave this building today actually acting as if we believe it. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Now, all you folks on the first two rows are fortunate because I spit a lot when I preach. But my spit's anointed, so it's all right. I asked several people this last year. In fact, I've asked a lot of people. What kind of language did they speak in the Garden of Eden? You'd be shocked what I heard. Hebrew, Syriac, Greek, Italian. Because a little missy down there. And the fact is, there was none of those things, that none of those are the language they spoke in the Garden of Eden. You have your Bible, open it to Genesis chapter 1. Everybody here, open your Bible to Genesis chapter 1. Now, I'm reading from the King James Version. If you're reading from one different than that, that's not my fault, is it? Amen. But no matter what translation you're reading from, verse 3, chapter 1 says, and God said. Verse 6, and God said. Verse 9, and God said. Verse 11, and God said. Verse 14, and God said. Verse number 20, and God said. Is that right or not? Verse 24, and God said. Verse 26, and God said. Verse 28, and God said. Verse 29, and God said. Now, if you read the rest of every one of those 10 verses, you'll discover everything was created in those 10 verses. Everything. The heavens, the earth, the sea, the islands, the ground, the animals, man, everything was created in those 10 verses, which tells me that the language they spoke in the Garden of Eden was the creative language. Now, brother and sister, does anybody here believe the Bible? That was kind of weak. Maybe you all need some Holy Ghost vitamins. How many believe the Bible? Well, more than voice, I want to see your hand. How many believe the Bible? Put your hand down. How many really believe the Bible? Let me see your hand. Let's try that one more time. The Bible says, out of the mouths of two or three witnesses. How many really believe the Bible? Anybody think Jesus knows how to lie? If Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father, the scripture that I read to you in chapter 16 is talking about when the Holy Ghost has come. If you were to read John chapter 7, 37, 38, says, he stood on that last great day of the feast and cried, if there is any man who thirsts, let him come unto me and drink, for out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Said, thus spoke he of the Holy Ghost, which was not yet given. Why so much about the Holy Ghost coming? Because if Jesus says, you can do greater things, you're going to do greater things than I've done after I'm gone when the Holy Ghost is come. How many Pentecostal folks have got in the crowd today? Oh, that kind of narrowed it down a little bit. Let's try that one more time. How many Pentecostal folks we got in the crowd? Let me see your hand. Amen. How many of you know you ought to be Pentecostal? Okay. Now, see, if you're Pentecostal, you have the Holy Ghost. I said, if you're Pentecostal, you have the Holy Ghost. I want to throw something at you here. Pastor can straighten it out after I'm gone. When you get saved, the only way you get saved is because of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do because the Holy Ghost is coming. What did he do? He raised a dead man. Hello? John chapter 6 will tell you that he said to Philip, with this great crowd, what would it take to feed all this great crowd? And Philip, because Jesus said he already knew what he was going to do. Read it, chapter 6, book of John. And finally, Philip said, well, Lord, even 200 pennyworth wouldn't be enough for him to hardly have a bite. And Andrew came around and said, there's a kid here. He got 5 loaves. He was not driving a bread truck. Hello? If a kid's lunch had 5 loaves, they're probably about that long and about that big around. And he was not dragging 2 whales. Amen. It said he had 2 little fishes, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus said, set them down by companies of 50. And they set them down. There was 5,000 men. If you have a Bible, look at it. John chapter 6, the idiot who translated that and put over the top of it the feeding of the 5,000 needs his head examined. The Bible clearly says there was 5,000 men. What about the women and children? Don't they count? Amen. So he probably fed more like 10,000 than 5,000. And then he said, take up the leftovers. They ate all he wanted. And he said, take up the leftovers. How many baskets did they take up? Hello. 1 for each doubting disciple. 12 baskets they took up. Listen, folks, if Jesus can do all of that, think about he stepped to a place where there was a man laying, had been 38 years laying there, and when he said, what are you doing here? And he said, well, when the angel comes and troubles the water, there's nobody to put me in, and somebody always gets there in front of me. Jesus didn't worry about the angel. He said, take up your bed and walk. Hello. Now, wait a minute. Did he lie when he said, greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father? Hello. And he said, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. Was he lying? See, here's the problem with us as church people, period. We don't really believe the Bible. So we don't really believe the Bible. Listen, folks, we have some friends in Golden, Mississippi. and the guy named Dr. Wayne Agin, pastor of church there. And they were in a building program, and Wayne Agin dropped dead. It took him about an hour and a half to find his wife. He had already been in the funeral home a half hour, and they took another hour and a half trying to find his wife. And they finally found her. And when she found out her husband was laying there dead, he's on the table to be embalmed about that high. And she insisted on going in there where he was. They said, "You can't do that." "Yes, I can." And she crammed through the door and went in there and started yelling at him. "You said God told you to build that church. You're not going to go off and leave me to do all the work. In the name of Jesus, you get up from there." And she grabbed him by the arm and yanked him off the table. He hit the ground in his back and sat up. We're there 10 years later. And I said, "Have you ever been near death again?" And he said, "I'm afraid to die." He said, "That wife of mine said, the last time she raised me from the dead, I had a headache for 6 months because I hit that ground on my back and on the back of my head." Listen, folks, you got to think about it. I've had 18 coronaries and 8 strokes. I've been told 7 times by the doctors, if I live 48 hours, that would be a miracle. Well, honey, here I am, so I believe in miracles. Amen. It's been about 12, 13 years ago that I was in a revival in Jacksonville, Florida. And I woke up one morning and I'm walking like this. And they had to help me to the car, had to help me into the church. And the pastor said, "Brother Marty, had 8 steps instead of the 5 you got here." He said, "You want me to bring the pulpit down to the bottom and I'll help you to the pulpit?" I said, "No. I believe in the anointing of the Holy Ghost." So when it come time for us, he said, "Well, bless God, here's the tharps." The moment he said my name, I got up, no pain whatsoever, walked up the 8 steps. We sang about 5 songs. I preached about 35, 40 minutes. I prayed for about 50 folks and went and sat down, couldn't get up. The next thing, next service, same thing. Next service, same thing. Went through Wednesday. On Thursday, we went home. And I'm still this way. Once I'm not in the pulpit, So I decided, I got to find out what's going on. So I went to the doctor in Douglasville where I live. And they took me in, and of course, I'm walking like this. And the nurse said, I think I better x-ray both your legs to find out what in the world is going on. So she got me all positioned, x-rayed me. Then she took that thing about like this and stuck it up on the wall. And she's standing there going, "Oh, oh." I said, "Ma'am, is it that bad?" She said, "I'm afraid so." I said, "Well, tell me." She said, "Nah, better let the doctor tell you." So they took me to an examination room, and the doctor had his little pointer. And he puts the thing up on the wall, and he stands there with his pointer. I don't know what on God's earth he's pointing at, but he's pointing, saying, "Oh, oh." I said, "Doc, what are you owing about?" And he said, "How'd you get in here?" I said, "I walked." He said, "You're not walking out. Get him a wheelchair." I said, "Well, I'm not taking a wheelchair." He said, "Mr. Tharp, I want you to look at the condition of your knees. You have no knees. The cartilage is all gone. You got bone spurs." I realized I was shorter. I just didn't know why. I was 6'5" when I got my driver's license. I'm 5'10½" now. So I've lost 2 inches. He said, "They're eating up from the bottom." I could hear these clicking noises when I move just wrong. My legs go. He said, "What it's doing is eating the bone away, and you're getting shorter all the time." And he said, "I don't care whether you want a wheelchair or not. 2 or 3 days or a week at the most, you're going to be back in here begging me for a wheelchair." Well, honey, it's been about 12, 13 years, because he said, "You ain't never going to walk on them knees." Well, I think this is what you call walking. Amen. Listen, either you believe the Bible or you don't. At 82 years old, I have learned this. There comes a time in your life, every child of God, where you've got to look in the mirror and ask yourself the question, do you really believe what he said? Are you just a namby-pamby Christian that'll just do sort of what you have to do and sort of believe what you have to believe and kind of come when you feel like it and kind of do what you think you should when you feel like doing it? And if somebody in two seats away upsets you, well, you just don't come back for a month. And hello? Christianity needs to grow up and recognize that God is still on the throne. Ever read Acts chapter 1 verse 8? It said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why did he talk so much about the Holy Ghost? Chapter 11, I'll get to Acts 1 in a minute. Chapter 11, you got a Bible? Look at chapter 11. I'm trying my best to hurry. Chapter 11. We'll tell you, the book of Genesis said that they said they found themselves a place in the valley of Shinar. And they said, we're going to build a tower and a city that reaches into the heavens and make for ourselves a name. And God said, let's go down and see. And the Bible said when he went down, he looked at what they were doing and he said this. Now think about what kind of language they're still speaking. They're still speaking the creative language from the Garden of Eden. Hello. I said, they're still speaking. Because I've had a lot of people say, well, when it says God said, that was just by osmosis. He didn't really talk. Well, you need to read. The reason I got 10 degrees is because I want to know what the Hebrew and the Greek says about stuff. And so I got a bachelor's, a master's, and I got 8 doctorates. I didn't get them from driving past the college. Amen. And I can tell you, if you look at a Greek interlinear, or a Hebrew interlinear, rather, and look at the 10 times that he says that, that's an audible voice that he spoke. I said, it's an audible voice. And he said, there's nothing that will be restrained from them. Whatever they can imagine, they can do if I don't confound their language. Why? It's because they're speaking a creative language. And God himself testifies that while you're speaking the creative language, there isn't anything that will be restrained. You can do whatever you want to. Whatever you can imagine, you can do it. So he said he scattered them throughout the entire earth. Now think about this, folks. I've had a lot of people who are evolutionaries will tell you where the black folks come from, where the Mexicans come from, where the Chinese come from, where the Native Americans come from. Oh, give me a break. The Bible said God scattered them throughout the entire earth and confounded their language so they wouldn't be able to understand each other. And think about this. Why is there so many colors of flowers? And why is there so many colors in the rainbow? It's because God don't pay any attention to the color that you are. We all have red blood. Amen. And if you got red blood flowing in your veins, that means you are God's child. Amen. Wow, hallelujah. Why do you think it was his blood shed on Calvary that made the difference? Because blood for blood. Amen. He bought us by his blood. And he's not one bit concerned whether you're an Italian or whether you're Hebrew or whether you're Greek or whether you're black or white or Mexican. God ain't interested one iota in where you came from. All he's interested in, has the blood been applied to your life? Are you God's child? Now think about this. Acts chapter 1 verse number 8 said, after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, you shall receive power to jump on one foot, talk in tongues, and prophesy. Oh, that's not what it said? Pastor, are you sure about that? Okay. That you shall have power to become a witness. Who to? Jerusalem, that's home. Boy, have I been in a lot of Christian homes that need a witness in their own home.
Hello.
And Judea, that's the folks next door. Now, be honest, you're in church. How many folks, you don't even know your next door neighbor? Either some of y'all are lying, or you're some of the best folks I've ever met, because most times, half the crowd raises their hand and says, I don't know my next door neighbor. I know my next door neighbor. She's the mayor of the city I live in. Amen. And then he says, Samaria. That's folks you don't like. Think about when Jesus went and asked this woman for water at the well. And she said, What are you doing asking me? In other words, don't you know who I am? I'm a Samaritan. I'm here to nod time because I'm an outcast from the rest of the bunch. Jews don't like me. He said, ma'am, if you knew who was asking you, you'd ask me. And I'd give you water, living water that you'd never thirst again. She said, you ain't got a bucket. Hello? How many knows that living water does not require a bucket? Amen. If Jesus says he's going to give it to you, he said, oh, my Lord, give me that water. Amen. And think about this. They're Samaritans. That's folks you don't like. And then he says, to the uttermost part of the world. That's folks you ain't never met. See, think about this. Look around you. There's empty seats. Whose responsibility is that? Most folks would say, well, it's his. He's a pastor. Bless God if he'd do his job. The seats would be full. I have a little revelation for you. See, I was raised in Texas. And when we lived in a town called McNary, Texas. McNary was a huge city. Had one building. That was it. In that one big building, it had a little cafe. It had a four-room motel. It had a post office and a service station. But across the street was a railroad yard where they brought in thousands of sheep once a week. 8, 9 years old, I used to go over there and loved watching them load those double-decker trucks with sheep. One day, almost dark, one of the truckers came, put his hand on my shoulder and said, son, what are you doing the rest of the night? Nothing. He said, how'd you like to make some money? Yeah. He said, I'm really tired and I've got to drive all night long. I need somebody to keep me awake. I'll give you $5. $5? Well, my dad was a falling down drunk. And he said, go ask your daddy. Well, I went and ran and told my daddy, this guy wants me to go with him. He's going to pay me. How much? I said, $5. $5, go. I knew what that meant. He's going to drink my $5 up. Think about $5 when I was 8 years old. You could buy steak and eggs and your coffee and your toast and hash browns for 19 cents. You could buy a pair of 501 jeans for 69 cents. You could buy a car brand spanking new for $495. $5? I said, oh yeah, I'll go. Well, I wasn't too good at it because he had to wake me up the next morning. But when he gave me the $5 when we got back, and he said, son, he said, I enjoyed your fellowship. He said, I'll tell you what, I do this about once a week. How'd you like to go with me next week? Pay you $5. I said, man, yeah. Well, I went with him several times, and I saw a lot of sheep being born. And I met a lot of shepherds. Man, I'm telling you what. But you know what's amazing? I never saw a single shepherd give birth to a sheep. I just can't figure that out. Some of y'all will get that about midnight. See, that's the shepherd. That's the sheep. Amen. You have a responsibility. The Bible said he's given you power to be a witness. I don't mean that after church you go home and watch TV and don't think about it again until next Sunday morning when you come to church. No, no. He gave you power to be a witness, not sit on your backside and hope that somebody else will fill the church. No, no. God ordained you as a child of God to believe the word of God. And if you believe the word of God, I can guarantee you that the seats will be full in this church. If you'll do your job, in less than a month, they'll have to do something to house the crowd. Let me ask you this. How many know somebody needs to be saved? Raise your hand if you know somebody needs to be saved. How many's got family that needs to be saved? How many's got family and friends? You'd like to see them saved. Everybody that raised your hand, stand up. Now I want you to join me around the altar. If you meant it, there's people you want to see saved, this is your starting point. said, right now, this is your starting point. Now, I asked you earlier how many believe the Bible, and I believe every one of you raised your hand. Come on up close. There's folks coming behind you. Come on. Now, do you ever read in the book of John where it says, and if we know he hears us, we also know that we have the petitions we ask of him? You all said you believe the Bible. If the Bible is true, and if it's not, you're in the wrong place. But if the Bible is true, he said, and if we know he hears us, then we also know we have the petition we ask of him. I want you to close your eyes right now, raise your hands, and tell the Lord who it is you want to see saved. Tell the Lord. Open your mouth and tell the Lord who it is you want to see saved right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh,
we hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.